3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Exfabula!
True personal story.
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
Time for Exfabula Radio once again on Lake Effect Weekend on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bruce Winter, and back from halfway around the world this week, Leah Delaney. How are you doing?
I am excellent. I wish it was a little bit warmer over here.
Well, yeah, you went from midsummer to midwinter here.
Yes, I did. And to lots of sun to no sun. But it is good to be back, sitting in the seat and bringing stories with me again, as always.
What do we got this week?
Well, this week we have the theme of tradition, which reminds me of the time that I set myself on fire during a production of Fiddler on the Roof. But that's a story for another day. We have a story slam coming up on Tuesday, December 12th with the theme of tradition. And we're welcoming everybody else to the stage to throw their name in the hat to tell their 5-minute real true story on that theme. And this particular event is going to be held at Milwaukee Public Museum, which is an awesome, awesome venue for many reasons, one of which is because that stage is beautiful, but it's also one of the very few fully accessible stages in Milwaukee. And on top of that, we're going to have an ASL interpreter at this particular event. So if anybody knows, has any friends that are hard of hearing or deaf, we would like to invite, again, as inclusive as we are, everybody to the Story Slam.
Excellent. And our first story today is interesting because it deals with looking at the past and discovering some things that surprised the heck out of you.
Yeah, you know, with all the rage right now, the DNA testings
right,
for Christmas
yes,
gifts.
Right.
Yeah, let's give this one a roll. The story is from Rochelle Fritch. She told us originally at our Secret Symphony Scheherazade with the MSO. So let's listen to Rochelle Fritch's tradition story.
My story starts in the kitchen, and it's bathed in a warm morning sun, and my mother-in-law is in the kitchen, and she's baking bread. And she's got a piece of dough in each hand, because this is braided bread, and she's taking the bread hand over hand, over hand, over hand, until it's a perfect braid. And then she bakes it until it's that wonderful golden color, and then she sprinkles what fat kosher salt crystals on it while it's still steaming. And if I close my eyes, I can even smell that bread. But here's the thing, I never saw her do that at all. I just heard about it through stories. And I love those stories, because it's not just recipes, there's actually stories connected to them. And it helps me understand this family of which I'm now a part. I like them even more because my daughter's there. And these stories shed light on what makes her who she is, at least part of it, right? And I've always liked these stories, but I tell you, back in 2012, all of a sudden it hit me. The stories made me a little sad because I realized I didn't have that to offer my daughter. She was missing one side of her. That was me. Because my grandparents passed before I was even born. And my mom and dad passed away before I got married and before I had my daughter. And so I started combing my brain for memories. What did my mother tell me? What were things that she said that I wasn't listening closely to? And I remembered she told me my grandmother's name. Her name was Mary Jane. She told me her maiden name was Godley. And that Mary Jane Godley was not from Milwaukee, and she had people in Missouri, or Missouri, as my mother called it. I remember conversations, and they were like whispered conversations, and they'd start out with, those were some wild people. But then I'd hear names like Wiley Godley. That's a relative. I don't know how, but that's a relative. And I heard the name French Godley, and it's another relative. I don't know how he's my relative, but he is. So I Googled. And the results that came back floored me. Under Will Godley's name was a name I had searched for, French Godley. And beneath that was written, killed by a mob, August 19th, 1901. Around the perimeter of the stone was written, "May community be restored." What had these wild people done to be killed by a mob? What did these wild people do to their community? So the lasting prayer on a headstone is, "May community be restored." I had to find out. This was more than a recipe. This was a story. So I went back to my documents. And I found one that was written in 2001. It was a newspaper article from a Missouri town talking about what happened. And it said that Will Godley was accused of raping and murdering a German immigrant girl. He was put in jail to await trial, but the trial couldn't come around fast enough for the townspeople. So they went down to the jail, burst Will out of the jail. They dragged him through the streets. They tried to coerce a confession, but he would not confess. And ultimately, they hung him after he died. They riddled his body with bullets. Then they went down to where all the black people lived, and they went to the home of a French Godley. That was Will Godley's dad. French was there with Pete Hampton, his son. And the mob screamed for them to come out and be accountable for what Will did, and they wouldn't. This was their home, this was their land. So they picked up rifles and there was a firefight. And the firefight ended with the home being burned to the ground with both men inside. After that, the townspeople went to the neighbors, who were also black, set fires, and threatened them by gunpoint. "If you're not gone by 2 a.m. this morning, you will face consequences." And all of those black people left the town. At the time, there was a 20% population of black people in that town. To this day, it still hasn't recovered. There's only 2% population of black people there. So the history let me know that Will Godley was actually innocent. They found out 2 days after this happened. The family history also told me stuff about myself and about how even my daughter acts. So when I think about every election, I am there. I am there early. I thought it was because I was civic-minded. But then I'm like, wait a minute, I remember that genealogy. The very French Godley whose house was burned down, he was president of the Colored Voters Association. And then when I think about my own tenacity and my own hopefulness, how sometimes I keep on going when I don't think I can go on, I think back to French's son, his other son that got away. That son was Wiley Godley. And Wiley, even though he couldn't live in Missouri anymore, he found a new home. He bought a home. He started a family. And he had a daughter. And her name was Mary Jane Godley, my grandma.
And that was Rochelle Fritch's story, Tradition.
Man, if I, you know, I'm almost afraid to research my family tree now because what might show up? I have no idea. You know, beyond my grandparents, I have no idea.
Right.
And maybe I don't want to know.
Yeah, maybe you don't. Yeah. Just to kind of bring it back, our theme today is tradition. We have a story slam coming up on December 12th at the Milwaukee Public Museum. So let's roll right into our next story. So here is Brian Moore, Liza Bielby, and Barney Beggett with their epic fail story told at an All-Stars, in fact, our first All-Stars back in 2010, dealing with tradition.
This story takes place in Humboldt County, California, where we spent 3 years of our lives studying physical theater.
For me, it's a story about cultural understanding. And we actually represent, we're all from the same graduate class.
It's a small school. It's a small town. It's a really small school. This is actually one-third of our graduating class up here on the stage
and
tonight.
And 11% of our graduating class came from Bombay, India. and he liked to celebrate his traditional holidays. So we would Diwali, the Festival of Lights, a couple times, and we celebrated Holi, the Festival of Colors, once, and then the second time, which we're telling the story about
right.
today.
Right. Now, Holi, as best as I understand, is sort of akin to a Hindu Mardi Gras, right? There's lots of food, there's lots of, you know, celebration, there's music, there's happiness, and it's the festival of color, right? So it always culminates in this big, you know, color fight. There's this pigment, it's like powder, it's colored powder, and you mix it with water, or you just throw it in the air, you make these big clouds of color, and everybody rubs it on each other. It's like this big, big, crazy thing, which is traditionally held in my backyard in Blue Lake, California, when we were there.
So traditionally, Holi in Bombay is celebrated in this way. You have a big feast with friends and family, and then you go to other friends' houses and you drag people out of their houses and you have this color war, all the while drinking this milk, which is infused with sweets and spices and marijuana.
But, okay, so the recipe we were going to use for this authentic experience had come from our Tai Chi master's 1970s Berkeley, California, like Indian cookbook. So this is the recipe we're using. Berkeley, California, not quite so authentic.
So the next day, the celebration begins. We all end up at Dee's house. And by we all, I mean the whole school, all the students, all 3 years of the program there, most of the faculty, most of the staff, their spouses, and their children. So we're there, we're having the meal, and it's about to get time to start the color war, and Dee holds up the jugs, and he says, okay, so this is tradition. This is, you know, tradition for Holi. To drink this drink, it does have marijuana in it, but it's really mild. So Dee starts handing out the Dixie cups and starts pouring the milk. And everyone takes a drink, and we go out, and we're throwing the colors around. And when the colors run out, we're spraying water, and we're, you know, starting to tear up the grass and use mud. And nobody's acting high. It seems completely normal. People are getting thirsty.
No, this is not true. There was one person I distinctly remember who I looked into her eyes. She was a second-year student, and they were really big. And it was like a remake of Dude, Where's My Car? And she's, like, running around going, I'm so stoned. And I was like, I was super annoyed by this because, like, can't we just have a good time and just be together? And, like, I totally was sure she was faking or something. And by that point, I was, like, really cold. So I went home, and I went into the, I went home and left the party.
I left the party not long after Liza, and I was walking through the house, and I saw crumbled on the kitchen floor another second-year student who was alternately weeping uncontrollably and then laughing uncontrollably. As if there was some kind of switch that someone was moving. And so I get home and I decide to take a shower. And I step into the shower with all my clothes on. And I start to wash myself when I hear something in the hallway. And so I go outside and I see my roommate dragging the limp body of his girlfriend up the stairs. And all of a sudden I get a phone call and it's my girlfriend Nora. And she says, I'm high. She's like, are you high? I'm like, no, I'm fine. She's... And then we hear sirens, right? And she's like, that's for us.
So meanwhile, I'm back at my house, and I showered with my clothes on, too. And I'd just taken them off from the shower, and I was, like, sitting on the toilet, and I heard the sirens, too. And I knew this moment of realization that I was dying. And my heart started to pound, and the sirens were getting louder, and I was going through all kinds of scenarios, like, I'm going to go to jail because I had done this to people.
So I go collect Nora, and she's fine to walk, so we decide we're going to check and see how everybody is. We go to the scene of the crime, we go back to Dee's place, and it looks like a bomb hit the place. And we're looking around for people, and there's only a few people left, and most of them are crying and shaking and vomiting. Where is Dee? And so we creak open his door, and in the dark, we hear him moaning and then start screaming and yelling at what he thinks are demons, saying, "This is my fault. I did this. I did this to all these people. Take me. I deserve this. Take me." So we decide to go get help. And we go across the street to some more student housing. And luckily, someone there had the presence of mind to go a couple doors down and grab a nurse who lives in town. And so she's there taking care of people, and people are sick or people, you know, are a little bit freaking out, but the nurse has really calmed them down and is really taking care of stuff. So I tell her what's going on over there. She's like, "I'll go to that house next." She's like, "What you need to do is go tell everybody that this is okay. Nobody is poisoned. You're just high. You need to relax, ride it out, enjoy it. Humboldt County, you know." She's like, "Get together, make sure that everybody's safe, eat a lot, drink a bunch of fluids, and just enjoy the ride." I'm like, "I'll do that."
And that was Brian Moore, Liza Bielby, and Barney Baggett.
Talk about epic fail and a party going wrong. Oh, man. So, coming up real quick is December 12th event.
Yes. The theme is, of course, tradition, and it's going to be at the Milwaukee Public Museum. We will have an ASL interpreter on site.
Excellent. And there are plenty of traditions we can hear from, I'm sure.
Yes. Oh, here's another tradition you might want to start in your family. We have memberships for the season. Memberships. Let's make that a family tradition, huh? Go to our website, exfabula.org, to find out all of the benefits with memberships and our events coming up. We have many of them. But if not, I guess we'll...
Another tradition is sharing, and if you want to share these stories you heard today or hear them again, they are at WUWM.com, and all information XFabula is at...
XFabula.org.
Great to have you back.
Thanks so much. Great to be back.
See you next week.